We are really, really glad that you are here today, and glad that you would take time out of this weekend to be part of this service. This is a unique weekend for our church. When I came to town, one of the questions that I asked a number of people, I said, what are certain traditions or certain patterns that happen in the life of Hayward Wesleyan Church that if it didn't happen in a continued way in the life of the church, people would notice? And people would say, huh, nobody told the new guy about that. And one of the things people said is they said, well, once a year we have kind of a celebration Sunday where we talk about the life of the church and we talk about where the church is going and all of those kinds of things. And so today is Celebration Sunday, and we want to do three things today. Three things. I think we can do this. First thing we want to do today is we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate some ways that God is at work in the life of our church. And you make no mistake about it, friends, God is at work in the life of our church. So we want to celebrate today. Another thing we want to do is I want to update you on some things that are happening in the life of our church and some important things that if I was part of this church and I wasn't the pastor, that I would want to know. And so we want to update you on some things. And then we want to meditate really quickly. Meditate quickly. That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it, Steve? But we want to meditate on some scripture together and what God might say to us today. So we want to celebrate. We want to update. And we want to meditate, and I didn't have anything more that ended with eight, and so we're going to do three things today. So first, though, I'd like us to bow our heads, and I'd like us to pray together. Father, today is an important day for our church. Your word is really clear that it says that if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And so I pray specifically today that you will help us to see what you are doing in our midst. May you cover this morning in a powerful way. May you speak to us in a powerful way. And I pray that you would unite our hearts as a church and that we would be awakened to you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you a story as we begin this morning. A story about a little group of people and how it all started in a tent. It all started in a tent. I want you to get the picture in your mind. It's 1924, and a group of people gathered together for a revival service, a service to come awake to God spiritually. And in 1924, the Wesleyan Methodist Church in Hayward started, and it started in a tent. It was in a tent meeting held by a man named J.B. Clausen. He was the president of the conference, and a man named Sidney Hotchkiss. He pastored the Wesleyan Church in Stone Lake. And those two guys got together, and in warmer days, they held a tent meeting. And the historians who wrote this for our church say that there were several people who were converted. I like how this is written. There were several people who were converted before the cold weather came, which made me laugh. When I read that, I thought to myself, nobody was converted in the dead of winter. But before the cold weather came, there were several people who were converted before the cold weather. When the group moved their meetings into the home of Dr. W.A. Hazelton, within a short period of time, they rented space for their services from, get this group, this is a great name for a church group, from the Norwegian-Danish Conference of the Methodist Episcopal Church. Don't they sound like stuffy people? I don't know, but I hear that and I'm like, these people are bouncing off the walls. The Norwegian-Danish Conference of the Methodist Episcopal Church. And they rented a church building on the corner of 5th and Minnesota. And in 1925, they had another revival in Hayward, under the auspices of the Wesleyan Methodists, with a man named Preston Kennedy as the evangelist. And as a result of that revival, the Hayward Wesleyan Methodist Church was organized on August 23, 1925, with 11 charter members. The first pastor of the church was Sidney Hotchkiss, and he continued to pastor this church, and he also pastored the Stone Lake Church. But in 1926, he moved to Hayward, and he ministered there fully. And I tell you that little story this morning because I think it's important that we remember where we came from. I hope you know that we didn't just show up here. This didn't just happen. But in 1924, somebody had a dream of what God might do. Somebody got on their knees in prayer and prayed and asked God to move. And I don't think those people would have ever imagined, if you told them that today we would be sitting in this room, I don't think they would have fully fathomed it. But I think it's important for us to remember that. Now, every family has nuts and bolts conversations from time to time. About once a month, Julie will say, Chad, I want to talk to you about our finances. And so we'll sit down and Julie will tell me where we're at with all of our money. She pays the bills in our house and that kind of thing. We'll sit down and we'll talk about our schedules. The other day, Julie said to me, she said, hey, we need to talk at some point. We need to talk about Braden's graduation. Braden's our nephew and he's graduating from high school. We need to talk about that. Nuts and bolts. I want to share with you some nuts and bolts kinds of things related to Hayward Wesleyan Church. Here's one nuts and bolts. If you are seated near the notebook this morning, I want you to grab the notebook that is near you. If you are seated near the notebook, you see the notebook that's near you? See the notebook? You got a notebook? I want you to hold it up above your head, like the Statue of Liberty. Hold it up above your head. All right, I want you to open the notebook. In the notebook, and we got to do this, people, we got to do this quickly. In the notebook, there are blue pieces of paper. Do you see the blue piece of paper? Once you see the blue piece of paper, say, I see the blue piece of paper.
I see it.
All right, yeah, by faith, I see the blue piece of paper. So you got the blue piece of paper. I want you to take one of those out per family and sign and pass it down the row. Pass the notebook down the row and keep your blue piece of paper. While I'm talking, you ready? You're going to multitask. I want you to complete both sides of the blue piece of paper. Both sides of the blue piece of paper. And at the end of the service, I want you to give the blue piece of paper to one of the ushers at the door. That'll help us a great deal. You say, why do you want to know this stuff about us? And here's why. Because part of being part of a family is being able to communicate as a family. And so we need your information so we can communicate better with you. We want to make sure you know what's going on in the life of our church and all of those kinds of things. You would never have a family member that you would say, oh, I don't care if I know my son's phone number or not. I don't care if I know my dad's phone number. You would never say that. And so as a church, we want to do our best to stay in contact together. A while ago, somebody asked me the question. They said, Chad, what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating right now as it relates to the life of Hayward Wesleyan Church? Let me give you a quick list. I am celebrating story after story of how God is at work in the lives of people that are part of Hayward Wesleyan Church. Almost every week, I hear a story of somebody who tells me of how God is at work in their life, and God is at work in some way in their life. And I'm celebrating story after story of how God is at work through the lives of people at Hayward Wesleyan Church. Events like even yesterday, George's Goats for Grandma's Walk, and last night, the father-daughter ball, those things didn't happen because of, like, just the pastor. Those things happened because of what God was doing through the lives of people. I'm celebrating the ways that God has met with us in recent days as a church. I've had the privilege of being pastor here for about, 90 days, I guess, or so, 3 months. And I'm celebrating how God has met with us. I'm celebrating Easter 2018. I'm celebrating people who serve in seen and unseen ways. The other day, I was driving by the church, and I saw someone picking up branches from the trees that had fallen down out here by the road. Nobody asked that person to pick those branches up. But I saw that, and I thought, that's the kind of servanthood that makes a church great. I'm celebrating the way that as a church, you have welcomed our family. We feel so loved. I hope you know that. I'm not asking you to change the way you love us either. I love the way you've expressed love to us. And we feel so loved and so welcomed, and you've been so, so kind to us. I'm celebrating the over 30 small groups that meet regularly in the life of our church. I'm celebrating the desire that many, many people have that are part of our church to see disciples made here and beyond. I'm celebrating people who find freedom through Celebrate Recovery. I'm celebrating what we do as a church through global missions, through giving and going. I'm celebrating all of those things and more. And I just want you to know, I am so proud to be your pastor. And I'm so proud to be the pastor of the Hayward Wesleyan Church. I was in the gas station, and somebody said, you're the pastor. You ever get this when somebody will talk about your kids sometimes maybe, and they'll say, oh, you're so-and-so's dad, and you kind of get proud a little bit? And they said, oh, you're the pastor at Hayward Wesleyan Church. And I literally, I stood up straight, and I said, well, yes, I am, yeah. And they said, your church does so much good in our community. And I was just so, so proud again. I celebrate the staff that God has assembled in our church. I'm excited to share with you some updates on that staff front. For the past 90 days, I've done my best to understand what it takes for Hayward Wesleyan Church to function, what it takes to run the church, so to speak, what the gaps might be, and what the best path forward is for us as a church. And I want to start, and I want you all to like join me in appreciation on this. I want to start by expressing sincere gratitude to people like Linda Garrick, Donna Pringle, and Kari Snyder, who serve so selflessly in our church office. They are air traffic controllers, people, and they keep this thing flying straight, and we can thank them. In first service, I called Kari Snyder, Pastor Kari Snyder, and I want you to know I am going to do that forever now. She's not actually a pastor at our church, and she will laugh when she hears that, but I will be calling her that from now on. I am celebrating, as we already have today, people like Linda Waystat and many of you that serve in the nursery. We're blessed by each of these people as a church. I'm celebrating Pastor Jeremy today. Don't y'all love Pastor Jeremy? You can thank Pastor Jeremy today. I'm celebrating the way that Pastor Jeremy loves the youth of our church, and I'm excited that moving forward, I've asked Pastor Jeremy, I've said, hey, I look at you, Jeremy, and I see somebody who has the heart of a teacher. And one of the observations I have about our church is that we have big group like this, and then we have small groups that happen over here, but there's not many mid-sized groups. There's not many kind of middle-sized groups, whether that's a class or whatever it may be. And I've asked Pastor Jeremy to carry some help in saying, hey, how can we develop some mid-sized kind of classes, some mid-sized gatherings for our church? I'm celebrating Pastor Loretta. Pastor Loretta, who today is in a warmer climate. She's in Mexico today, but I'm celebrating Pastor Loretta today. Pastor Loretta is going to continue moving forward, running the charge of being pastor of pastoral care and connections and loving people and helping a whole other group of people love people as well, and women's ministry and women's groups and all of those kinds of things. And I couldn't be more excited. I'm celebrating today Pastor Ryan. And I want you to know, Pastor Ryan serves our church so well. He serves with such a servant's heart. He serves with a heart that says, I just want to see people worship God. And you need to know, I want you to just imagine in this room the approach, the thought that different people have about worship. People think, well, I like this kind of music. I like this kind of music. I kind of like that kind of music. I like that. And Pastor Ryan walks it with such a servant's heart and saying, how can collectively we worship God together? And I'm so, so grateful for him today. He had really good parents, you know, really, really good parents. He did. I also want you to know today that one of the gaps that we have as a church is what happens in children's ministry. Pastor Kari, I did it again. Kari Snyder has helped so much in filling in the gaps, and so many volunteers in filling in the gaps with what happens with our children's ministry. But as we formed our budget for this new church year, we were able to include in it a part-time position for a director of children's ministry for our church. Now, I'm sharing this with you for a number of reasons. One, we're looking for someone who loves Jesus, who loves kids, who's excited about the idea of saying, how can we provide some direction to what we do with our children's ministry, and wants to empower and raise up more volunteers for our children's ministry. And if you know a person like that, or if you are that kind of a person, I would love to talk with you about that. Because moving forward, we're excited to be able to bring a person like that on our staff. Now, let me share with you a couple of things, just two matters that are kind of really nuts and bolts kind of pieces, and then we're going to worship together and we're going to receive our offering. One has to do with our worship schedule. Now, when I arrived, I was told that we have three services. One of them is called Morning Song at 8 a.m., and then we have 9 a.m. and 10:30. And I want you to know that moving forward, we continue to have three services as a church, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30. I want you to know that the 8 a.m. service, we've done our best in recent days to talk with those folks, the folks that are part of that service most regularly and all of those kinds of things. And the 8 a.m. service, we've said, what is it you value most? So the 8 a.m. service, every week, will have communion as part of it. The 8 a.m. service will continue to take a more traditional format than this service. But I want to remind you and let you know loud and clear that our church has three services, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30. And I encourage you to be part of those from week to week. I also want you to know, and this is for those of you that are voting today, but the rest of you, you can eavesdrop in, that today when you vote, you're going to notice something about your ballot. You're going to notice that for each of the categories listed, you will see that there is only, that there's like one person needs to be elected, and you will see that there's only one name, or five people need to be elected, and you'll see that there's five names, or however many it may be. I want you to know why that is. When the nominating committee met, we worked to nominate names that represented both men and women in the church, younger people and older people in the church, newer people to the church, and people that have been here since 1924. Maybe not 1924, but quite a while. We said, let's look at the full gamut in the life of our church. And in each case, multiple names were nominated and approached with the opportunity to allow their names to be listed on the ballot that's there this morning. If everybody would have accepted, there would have been a plethora of names to choose from. But as is the case in our church, and not just our church, but many churches, many people decline that nomination, and so we have actual, you know, one person needed, one name is listed. I want you to be assured that every effort was made for a clear representation for the life of our church to be represented on that ballot, and I just want you to know a little bit of that backdrop and a little bit of that journey. I also want you to know about a recommendation that comes from our board that members are going to be asked to vote on today. Here it is in a nutshell. In our nominating process, we approached four different individuals about allowing their names to run as the treasurer of our church. Treasurer historically is elected as a part of the church board. They attend church board meetings. They have a voice and a vote, all of those kinds of things. We have a wonderful structure which allows for bookkeeping and all of it to happen, but they review financial reports, all of those kinds of things. And we approached four different people. All four of those people declined that nomination for reasons that I fully support. This created a bit of a challenge, and it led to further conversation with our district superintendent and some other folks as well about the best way to proceed. So in an effort to ensure that the most competent oversight of our church finances can occur, the Hayward Wesleyan Church Board is recommending to the members of Hayward Wesleyan Church that we use an alternate model for the oversight of our church finances. I want you to hear, when you hear alternate model, do not think fuzzy math. Do not think sloppy model. The heart behind this is that the very best approach can be taken to how it is that our finances are navigated and looked after. The alternate model means that the members of Hayward Wesleyan Church won't elect a treasurer moving forward. Instead, the board would annually appoint someone to serve, for lack of a better word, as a financial overseer, along with annually appointing members of a stewardship committee, which already occurs, and also working in conjunction with people like Linda in our office and others on the oversight and management of our church funds. This financial overseer person would fulfill all the duties of the treasurer, including reporting regularly to the board, but wouldn't serve as a voting member of the board. This proposal comes recommended fully by our church board, and it also comes supported by our district superintendent, Dan Bickle. And I realize when you hear that, you're like, wait a minute, what is he even talking about? And here's what I want you to know. If you have questions on that, like what is this trying to accomplish, I would love to talk more with you about that, and I'm happy to do just that. The other day, somebody said, Chad, what are you thinking? What are you thinking right now about the life of Hayward Wesleyan Church? And I want to show you some things on the screen. Here's one. It says first step, next step. I think there should be a slide that says that. Is there a slide that says first step, next step? I'm thinking these days about how we can help people to take their first steps at our church and how all of us can know better what our next step is as a church. I'm thinking about how about once a quarter we ought to have something, I do think there's a slide on this one, called an awakening weekend. An awakening weekend. A weekend where we just gather together and we tell stories and we celebrate and we worship together and we honor God together, and I'm praying along those lines. I'm thinking a lot these days, though, about how we can love Sawyer County to Jesus. I'm thinking a lot these days about how we as a church can invest our lives, invite like just ruthless bandits, and include people. It seems like every week I bump into somebody who has some kind of brokenness in their life, some kind of hurt in their life, some kind of story that they tell. And I want you to know that I pray that Hayward Wesleyan Church would be a church that you are embraced at no matter what brand of brokenness you bring with you. And I want you to know there is no life that's too broken for Hayward Wesleyan Church, because there's no life that's too broken for Jesus. I'm thinking these days about the intersection that happens right out here. Tell me if I'm right, Steve. This is 77. Is that right? And this is Nyman, right? So for years, people have said, where is the intersection for Hayward Wesleyan Church? And you would say, oh, out there on the edge of town, the corner of 77 and Nyman. See, I'm learning my directions. I got this. I don't know north, south, east, or west still, but I got that part of it. You would say, well, it's Hayward Wesleyan Church is at the intersection of Nyman and 77, and here's what I want you to know. Hayward Wesleyan Church is at the intersection of brokenness and hope. And I want us to be that kind of church, where broken people find Jesus and broken people grow in relationships with God and people, where people can go deeper in their walk with Christ, where they can be challenged to know Jesus and trust Jesus. And from now on, I just long for us to be that kind of a church, where it isn't just the geographic location, but people will say, you know what? There's a church that's at the intersection of brokenness and hope. And so I'm praying that for our church. Our ushers are going to come, and they're going to help us this morning with our tithes and offerings, and I'd like us just to pray together as they come, and the band's going to rejoin us, and we're going to sing a little bit this morning. Jesus, now, I pray that you would speak to us even as we worship you. And God, I realize that the things that I just kind of ran through this morning, I realize, God, that those are nuts and bolts kinds of things, and sometimes people may even wonder why we would take time for such a thing. I think part of it this morning, God, is being reminded that we're a family. And being reminded again, God, that what you're doing among us as a family is really important. God, this is a different place than any other work in this community. This is different than the Kiwanis, different than the Rotary, it's different than the Lions Club. When we come in this place, we come to worship you. And there is no place, no life that's too broken. And so may our church be just poised. What started in a tent in 1924, may we start again in our hearts today, again saying that we are at the intersection of brokenness and hope. And I pray that we would be that kind of a church. And we pray this in your name.